mentioned that it wasn't a seeking out of physical experience, but this is advice that you give to young poets or would-be poets, that they need to go out there and live before they start trying to express their experiences.
Oh, yeah, but I tell them to take it further. I tell them to take up hang gliding or delayed drop parachuting or something, because those are less dangerous than attempting to write poetry.
You don't really mean that.
Yes, I do. I do. This is the most terrifying, the most fearsome thing anybody can go in for. You risk your life, literally. You risk your sanity, your health, your peace, certainly. Your peace is shattered. Very difficult for families to cope with. That is the edge, trying to write poems seriously. I get very alarmed when young people read a few poems and think, ah, easy art form, all you need is a pen, and this is going to be a piece of old cake. It's less work than novels and short stories and so on. But really, if you go into it, it gets hold of you. And I guess the main risks are to sanity and to peace and to personal relationships.
So you're saying that when a poem has you in its jaws, it doesn't let go?
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to exorcise it to remain sane. Road back. Scaled back and down. Exiled to tarmac. Fenced about by concrete and wire. Bullied lawns. Alert light standards. Standing sentry alongside factories. Dodging lorries and the corporation buses. Aiming for quiet, square-shouldered rooms of escherichias, coliphages, my microscope, and wet preparations of parasite eggs. Driving's a lethal skill. Its ease fatally invites domestic reprises. The whole substructure steered and towed by the doomed and hurtling microcosm within. Tires scream softly as they thud and thin, a spring, bolt, or pin crystallizing as it slams its wishboned way along the waiting roads, unbandaging in advance. Impossible compromises dart between your scrubbed, ridiculous, horny exterior, confounded by a pathognomonic shyness, almost offset by stunting about and drinking, not behind the wheel, look you, and constrained in supportable interfusions, whole galaxies of unbridled connections, short-circuiting your emotional neurons. Just like any old poet. And of course, words, 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 quite worthless, most of them, like miniature dragons clawing inside a skull reluctant to release such multums before toning down or tuning out the vile adumbrations of their forked utterances. The damage one brain can do. A tendency in all that's living is to excrete its entropy. The planet counterattacks. Its choice is plain. Kill or be killed. Ours too, symbiosis or death at the hands of a bright blue cell. The only living thing in known space. Perhaps you do not need your knights, Gaia. In the end, you have to win. Break for the swerving fool ahead. Harsh welcome from the real world, with unreal people starting to circle. Is the best prayer uncontainable joy? Immediately the image of an uncorseted coring. The sea some days as melancholy as memories of lax limbs on summer afternoons. With the sun on her, she usually reflects. Last night, creation did not look too bad viewed through the lens of an empty glass. Today, the sea, your old ally against psychic apathy, who saves your soul from atrophy, was up to her ancient tricks and teased, child of my loins, conceived and born in solitude, here's comfort for your grave substance. There's her obverse face, a negligence verging without cruelty on maternal indifference. No other course before such wiles, usually limbed by the sun or the moon, but to accept the gage and buckle to. Both ploys renew the blood, the pennants flutter, the sound of pounding hooves drums up the trophy. Life. I have been enchanted by words as long as I can remember. I remember reading, age three, trying to make up poems, age four or five. I've always been totally enchanted by words. Of course, this is regarded with grave suspicion by one's urchin peers. And you learn to try and hide it there and develop a line of, I suppose, witty repartee, vulgarity of speech, constant jokes, the clown mask, etc. No, I've always played with words and written some pretty filthy poems too while I was experimenting. It was only after a series of illnesses in Zambia, Northern Rhodesia, that I started trying to tackle the thing as a great, vast, unconquered terrain.
Was the conflict between your work, the science, and the poetry already evident then?
I keep getting this question. I see no conflict in science and art. I look upon science as man's search for the truth and art as man's interpretation of the truth. They are two sides of one single coin, and I don't find any difficulty in balancing the two at all. No, the main trouble is the solitary, monastic, selfish commitment to getting the words right and the rewriting to the exclusion of everything. People, food, sleep. That's the danger, I think. And one has to keep one's body reasonably fit to cope with this, because the cerebral demands are intense. And it's often to no or very small effect. The successes, the rewards are just about nil.
You believe that